حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم المسير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We are discussing regarding the requirements of believers. When a person becomes a mu'min, there is a certain behavior that he must have in order to maintain his iman. What are those things that makes an individual maintain his iman, and what does iman entail? Yesterday we discussed about one of those things that Allah mentions in Surah Hujurat, where He says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la yaskhar qawman min qawmin. O you who believe, do not let a group laugh at and ridicule another group. Asa yakunu khayran minhum. Maybe it might be the case that that other group is much better than this group. And hence, this is something that we went into. And there are other things that Allah has also mentioned in this chapter. For those of us here, we should go through that chapter and see the advices Allah, He emphasized to believers. Now we see again Allah, He says, and addresses the believers and says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ishtanibu kathiram min ad-dhan. He says, O you who believe, abstain from most of, abstain from having opinions about others, assumptions about others. Do not assume things about others. Do not have an unfounded view about others. Dhan is, for example, a view that one has about another. And Allah says that most of these views are a sin. Most of these views are a sin. And here we see that the reason most of these views are a sin is because there are some views or there are some opinions that are good. Meaning whenever we have an opinion about others that is good, this is not only, for example, not haram, but it is recommended to have husnul dhan. And this is the reason he says that not all of dhan is a sin, but most of dhan is a sin. And we see that there is either husnul dhan or there is su'ul dhan. Either you can have a view about your brother that is good, or you can have a view about your other that is bad. Now, when we see that if these are the only two views that exist, and Allah says that most of the views are a sin, it means that whenever the world of views is going to be counted out, we will see that most people, whenever they have a view of other, mostly it will be bad. That's why Allah says most of the times this view you will have, this dhan you will have is a sin. And hence we see that this is one of the things that Allah has said that you should not do. Then again he goes on, and I will explain all of this because all of these things they come together. And we see that after that he says that you should not do ghibat of another brother. You should not do ghibat. لا يغتب بعضكم بعضا. You should not do ghibat of another, or one group should not do ghibat of another. Now obviously this is something that is important and must be emphasized. And hence I'm going to spend some time here about this action that is called ghibat. What is ghibat? Ghibat in Muslim terms is the favorite pastime of Muslims. If you bring the Muslims together and you leave them alone, you will see that the one thing that is going to rule in there gathering is ghibat. If ghibat is not there, then it won't be an enlightened gathering. If you come together, you will see that you have to do ghibat in order to make that gathering exciting. Otherwise, everyone will say, you know what? Let's just go home, it's boring. This is what happens. This is the reality of ghibat. And when we see what ghibat is, and most of us know what ghibat is, but just to reiterate the facts again, so that those who don't know can learn, and those who know, this can be emphasized to them. Ghibat is not when you say something wrong about someone. When you say something wrong about someone, that is not called ghibat. When you say something about someone that is not the truth, it is not ghibat. Ghibat was an issue that even in the times of the Imams, other people were also wondering what is the meaning of ghibat, just like we are today. And we'll say, is this ghibat or not? Is this ghibat or not? So, in the time of the Imams, they went to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And they asked the Imam, what is the meaning of ghibat? What does ghibat mean? Imam said that it is to say something about a brother behind his back that discloses what Allah has hidden from others. It is that which you say about someone that reveals that thing in him that Allah has hidden from others. Meaning, Allah, one of the attributes of Allah is that He hides the weaknesses and defects of people. This is His attribute. And He does this all the time. And hence, if we have a defect, if we have a weakness, if a person has some weakness, then that person, if that weakness or defect, or whatever the case is, even if it's not a defect, maybe it's the clothes that he's wearing. Maybe if it's his hairstyle. Maybe it's something in him. If people have not noticed it, it's because Allah is making them not notice it. Allah is making them not notice it. And to bring that to the attention of the people, to bring that thing to the attention of the people, that which Allah has hidden, this is called ghibat. This is called ghibat. And hence, we must realize that ghibat, just to give you the importance of this ghibat, what this is, we see that one day the Messenger of Allah, in the midst of everyone, started to shout. He started to scream, and in a screaming voice, he gave a khutbah. And he says, Ya ma'shara man amana bi lisanihi wa lam yu'min bi qalbihi. O you who have accepted iman with your tongue but not with your hearts. Addressing the Muslims, he said, O you who have accepted iman and became a mu'min with your tongue but not with your hearts. La taqtabu muslimin. Do not do ghibat of the Muslims. Do not find weaknesses and defects in them. You see this? He is giving an order in a voice that everyone can hear. And he is saying, do not do this. Why? Because Allah has hidden it from others. If you reveal the sin or a weakness or a defect of your brother, then Allah will reveal your defects to others. Allah will reveal your defects to others if you reveal the defect of a brother to the other people. This is the justice of Allah, He's reminding us. And not just that, Allah will also destroy the hearts of your family. Because of the fact that, see, and I'll make you understand why this is the case. Why is this so important? And hence we see, ghibat of other people, talking of other people, this is something that a lot of times we do, and we don't see the importance of what's happening to us. There's one other hadith that is in the time of Musa alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allah had revealed to him that those who do ghibat, right, those people who do ghibat, if they ask for istighfar in their life from the ghibat they have done, if they ask for istighfar in their life from the ghibat they have done, they will be the last persons to enter heaven. They will be the last person to enter heaven. If they had done istighfar and asked Allah for forgiveness for their ghibat, and if they have done this ghibat until they die, then they will be the first person to enter hell. They will be the first person to enter hell. So now we see the importance of ghibat. What is ghibat? And understand how much emphasis that it has been given, so that we know that the actions that we do, how easy it is for us to lose it. And how it affects our iman, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam has said.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He had said that people, that an individual who does ghibat, anyone who does ghibat, it eats away his iman like a sore eats away your flesh. I don't know if you have ever seen a sore that comes into the body. If you sleep in one place for a long time, if you lie down in one place for a long time, you get these bed sores. It opens up your flesh and it starts eating your flesh. He says, just like that sore eats up your flesh, ghibat eats up your iman. And when you have a bad sore, you will see that the flesh slowly and slowly will start disappearing. It will start to disappear. There will just be an open hole there. Just like that, your iman also will also start to disappear, and you will see a vacuum there. This, my brothers and sisters, is what ghibat is. And when we see the effects of ghibat and how much it has on others, what it does and how it happens, that whenever you do ghibat of another, just imagine this, that you have said something wrong about him, and then how is it that you are able to face him eye to eye and talk to him again? Once you know you have said something about him that he does not like or that he doesn't want others to know, how is it that you are able to talk to him? This destroys relationships. It destroys relationships. It creates animosity. Most of the animosity that is found amongst brothers, amongst Muslim brothers, is because of ghibat. If there is hatred found amongst Muslim brothers, it's because of ghibat. And it comes from our own self. When we say something wrong about others, then we create that animosity with him. And it all starts off in a very innocent way. It starts off with an innocent way. And when it goes on, then you will see that the relationship you have with others is affected by what you have said about others. Now you see that this is the reason why you form groups, why there are cliques made, because of the fact that it all started with ghibat. Now you are ashamed to face him, so now you have to make sure that what you have said does not come out in front of others. And an individual creates cliques amongst people and groups amongst people in order to stop this from happening, in order for himself to be exposed. This is what ghibat does. And there are many other things, but right now, just understand this much. What are the effects of it when you say these things? What are the effects of ghibat? And how, that's how we see how much it affects people. It affects their behavior. It affects how they deal with others. It affects their relationship with others. It affects the whole group. And whatever we want to do, this is the reason why. Most of the times we need to look and see if we are doing such a thing that is going to destroy our own faith. When we do such a thing, Allah is saying for a mu'min, that a mu'min, he cannot do this. And those who do this, he's saying they are mu'min with their tongue, but not with their hearts. They are mu'min with their tongues, they say they are mu'min, but they cannot be mu'min because they haven't done this. They haven't abstained from this. You see, this is the right that one has on another person. And I'll explain this to you also. You see, Allah has mentioned this. And He has mentioned over here three things. One, He said, do not have a bad opinion about the brother. Two, He said, do not do ghibat. Three, He said, do not give each other nicknames. And you see these nicknames always. They come up. These nicknames, obviously, a name that is honorable is what your elders gave you. And any other name to mock you is called a nickname. And you see these nicknames are handed down from one to another and they become, for example, their real name. In fact, now it's hard for even that individual to remember his real name. It's hard for him to remember his real name. Right? When you say, what's your name? He says, Mo. I said, I'm sure your dad didn't give that name to you. No, they said Muhammad. So you see, Muhammad became more. For whatever reason it happened, and however it happened, you see that this was a name that is going to belittle him. Now, for example, if Mo becomes religious and starts to learn, and he, for example, is going, for example, like if he's going to read the dua, they say, who's reading the dua? Mo is. Now, because of this nickname, now the dua is also laughed at. You see this? The effects of having these names destroys your religion, it destroys the effectiveness of your religion. Allah has mentioned these three things. Now I want to mention this to you, that these three things He mentioned, what do these three things do? Because all of these three things do the same thing, and He has mentioned them in one ayat. What are these three things and what do they do? The fact is that these three things that we have that are responsibility of a mu'min to another mu'min. This is something that we must understand. Why is it so much emphasized and why is it that Allah wants us to abstain from these things in a very harsh way? The reason is, my brothers, is this. The greatest asset that a mu'min makes for himself in this dunya is not his wealth, is not his house, is not his money, is not his bank account, nothing. The greatest asset that he earns in this dunya is his character. His own character. This is the greatest asset that you have. A mu'min builds his character based on his truthfulness and his trustworthiness. He builds that character. When a mu'min builds that character, this is something that Allah wants to preserve, because it is through this character that he has, Allah wants to give out His message and to give Islam to the people through that character. Allah wants to give Islam through that character, those traits that this person has accumulated for himself. His honesty, his hard work, he has worked hard in order, because he was afraid of Allah, he worked hard in order to make himself a mu'min and make himself strong. Now what happens? When you have worked hard to build this character, and Allah is going to use that character to give His message to the people who don't have character. So now Allah wants everything that is going to destroy that character to be made haram. Everything that makes and hurts and destroys that essential character a mu'min has, Allah makes it haram on you. He makes it haram for you to do that. This is the reason that when you see, when you do ghibat, what are you doing? When you do ghibat, what you are really doing is you are destroying the personality of that person. What he has made up for himself, if everyone knows him as a muttaqi person, as a mu'min person, with one joke you have put him down in the eyes of the people. Just like that, you see. With one word, oh him, he's nothing. That's it, his worth is finished in the eyes of those who heard you. Allah made this haram, why? Because that person worked hard to build his character. And anyone who does anything to destroy that character, Allah wants to make sure that that person is warned against, and he knows what is going to happen to him. What is going to happen to him? Now you see, if you want to know what will happen to those who do ghibat. Again, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam has said,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He has said that whenever a person does ghibat of a Muslim brother, whenever you do ghibat of a Muslim brother and find defects in him and expose him to the people or reveal his defects to the people, then Allah takes you out of his wilayat and sends you to shaitan's wilayat. Allah takes you out of his authority and sends you to shaitan's authority. He kicks you out. أخرجه. He kicks you out of his authority into shaitan's authority. And you become so bad that it says, that he says, that Allah, that Allah removes you from his authority into shaitan's authority. And when you go there, shaitan refuses to accept you. Now understand this. Shaitan is refusing to accept you. He says, I don't want this guy. I don't want this guy. Because of the fact that if he doesn't have honor for his own brother, how can I also trust him? I can't trust this person. Allah says, when you do ghibat, what are you doing? You're eating the flesh of your dead brother. You're eating the flesh of your dead brother. And why he said that? See his eloquence. You eat the flesh of your dead brother. And then we imagine, like for example, your dead brother in his flesh. But the reason he said that is, understand this, to make you understand what ghibat is and what is the reality of ghibat. When your brother is dead, it means he's ghaib. He's not there. So it is something that you say when he's not there. And when you eat his flesh, then it means what you're doing is you're destroying his character. Because the flesh stands for character, that which makes you who you are. When you remove the flesh, all that is remaining of you is that those bones that make you look ugly. That flesh is what makes you look like you are. And this is the reason when you do ghibat, you are destroying that person's character and behind his back. This, my brother, is ghibat. And this, what happens, the effects of it, is the fact that when we do ghibat, then we see that it destroys the environment of the believers. It destroys their environment. It prevents us from becoming stronger because we do not trust each other. The lack of trust that we have amongst anywhere you go. If you see the Muslims do not have their trust amongst each other, it's because of ghibat. When you do ghibat, you start to lose trust in the other brother. When you hear ghibat, you start to lose trust in the other brothers. Even though you might not accept what the other guy is saying, but it will affect you. When the other brother had said, listen, this guy is this, I know him. That's it. No matter if you don't want to accept his words, next time you meet that brother, you will not trust him the way you did. This is how trust is destroyed. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you want to build a society and an environment, then make sure that you do not destroy each other's trust and destroy what you have earned for yourself all this life. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now you see, Allah, after mentioning, now he mentions these three things and he puts all of the mu'mineen together and he says, listen, you don't do these things to one another. You don't make these things to one another. But you see, why? Because of the fact Allah makes a declaration of the relationship that brothers have, that Muslims have, that mu'mineen have. And he says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. Mu'mineen are nothing but brothers. Believers are nothing but brothers. This is the system that Allah gave. Allah said that once you enter into the folds of Iman, then your relationship that you have with the next mu'min is that you are his brother. You're not his uncle, you're not his father, you're not his grandfather, nothing. These are relationships of this dunya. Understand what I'm saying? These are relationships of this dunya. As insan, what is your relationship? Insan, you come and you are born with certain relationship. When you are born as, at first a son. If you are not someone's son, then there's an issue. You are born as a son. Now it might not be known who the father is, but there is one. Otherwise you wouldn't be there. But the fact is that you are born as a son. When you are born into a family, where you have uncles, where you have aunts, where you have mothers, sisters, brothers, cousins, and all these things. Now when you look at these relationships, these are human relationships. These are relationships that insan has come with. These are relationships that you are born as an insan and as a human being you come with these relationships. In human relationships, there is higher and lower. There is inferior. There is superior. For example, your uncle, he's older than you. This relationship is that of an elder to a younger. He is above you, you are under him. This is as a human being. But now, when you enter the folds of Iman, when you become a mu'min, now those relationships all change to one relationship, and that is the fact that you are brothers and only brothers. You see that? You are only brothers now as a mu'min. If you have not understood this fact, if you have not understood the fact that you are brothers, then it means you are still not becoming a mu'min yet. You have still not accepted Iman yet. If you give importance to those relationships that deal with higher and lower, and those relationships that you have as an insan, above that relationship which Allah gave you as a mu'min, then remember this one thing. Allah says that which comes with insan is bound for failure. And that which comes with iman is bound for success.
Yes.
So all these relationships are going to fail. The only relationship that will last is that which comes through iman.
Yes.
That relationship which comes through iman, that is the only relationship that can last. That is the only relationship that has success written in it. This is the reason why Allah brought believers together on an equal level and said, now you are all brothers to one another.
Yes.
Now you are all each other's brothers. Why? Because iman became your link. Iman is your link. Those who don't regard themselves as a brother to you, it means that they are not mu'min yet. Because as a mu'min, you view the other mu'min as your brother and nothing else. Only they are your brothers. And this is the reason why we see how Allah has made this declaration and said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. And when you are brothers, when you are brothers, فَاصْلِحُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَكُمْ. Then whenever two of you are going to fight, whenever two of you are going to argue, then don't stand back and look at them as a show. When these two are going to fight, do not stand back and just look at them fight. Allah says, أَصْلِحُوا, do islah amongst them. Rectify that situation, reform them so that they don't fight. My brothers, understand this, how important this is. That whenever you see two brothers fight, then your job as a brother is to make sure that you do Islam amongst them. Is to make sure that you do Islam and reform them and make sure that they don't fight. If you let them go on fighting, then you are not a mu'min yet. Your job is to come there and to stop them. You see, let me explain this to you if you send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You see, a lot of times when we see Allah's laws for us and what Allah has ordered us to do, you see, A lot of times we accept those things that are easy for us. For example, when Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةِ He said, yes, we are brothers. And as a brother, you should do to me what I will do to you. I won't do anything, let you, you know, and I want you to do everything for me. For example, it says that if we are brothers, then I expect you to do everything for me. And when it comes to my turn, then I make up excuses. You are my brother, you have to be patient. You have to be patient. So, when it's easy for us, whatever is easy for us, we do. And whenever it becomes hard for us to do, then we say, well, this is not what it means. Or the reason is different. We try to justify it. Allah says that whenever you see people, two groups of brothers, until then we accept it, that they're fighting. So an easy thing for us to do was to step away from it and say, well, it's not our problem. It's their problem. It's their problem. They had a problem. Let them deal with it. That's obviously the easy thing for us to do. That's why most of the people do that. But Allah says, no, as a brother, your job is to go and do Islam with them. Even when you see two sides, and you see one is the zalim, one is the mazlum. Your job is to stand with the mazlum. Until now we accept this. Yes, we stand with the mazlum. But the next thing, fight against the zalim. See, understand this. Standing with mazlum is one thing. Yes, we are with the mazlum. We are with him. But we see, no, that means if you stand with the mazlum, it means you have to fight and oppose the zalim. Oppose the oppressor, oppose the unjust. That's where we have a problem now. Because the dunya says, right, the law of the dunya says one thing, and the law of Islam says another thing. Law of Islam says that you have to stand with the mazlum, oppose the zalim. And the law of the dunya says that you stand with the zalim until the mazlum is rectified.
Ya Allah. Law of the jungle.
Until the mazlum is straightened out. How can they not listen? They better listen. Understand this. What's happening? When you see the world, this is what's happening. Whoever the zalim is, people side with them and they fight against the mazlum. This is what's happening in the world. They fight against the Muslim. Why? Why are these Muslim people rising up? Why are they talking out? Why are they opposing us? No, we have to do something to stop them. Why are you stopping them? They are the ones who are oppressed. They are the ones who are oppressed. While Islam is saying, no, your job is to go with the oppressed. And you have to oppose the zalim. Now my brothers understand, if we can understand this difference, then we will know that Islam has made it clear for a mu'min that his job is to oppose the zalim, even if he has to hold his hand. Any brother you see, you see any brother who comes to you, and let me give you an example from the history of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
In the times of Jahiliyyah, in those days when Islam wasn't there, there was a habit amongst Arabs, and that was that they used to love their family ties, and they would give everything for their ties. Meaning my uncle, my brother, my cousin, that's it. Anything happens to them, anything that happens amongst them, if you harm one of them, then they are going to go to war with you until all of them die. This was their way. So now what happens? When Islam came and these Arabs, they came to Rasulullah and said, Ya Rasulullah, listen. You know, your Islam is all well and good, but we need to ask one more thing before we accept Islam. We have importance and we give importance to these relationships. That we say, our rule is that if you are my brother, then no matter who you are and what you do, if you are zalim or Muslim, I will be with you. I will be with you and I will help you. Is that what Islam says? They asked Rasulullah, is that what Islam says? And he replied back, yes, that's exactly what Islam says. He says, that's exactly what Islam says. That you should help your brother no matter what. Whether he is zalim or whether he is Muslim. You must help your brother. And the only question is, what is the meaning of help?
Yes.
The only question is, what is the meaning of help? If your brother is Muslim, then helping him means to side with him and oppose the zalim. And if your own brother is zalim, then helping him means to go and stop him from doing so.
Yes.
This is the meaning of help. So if you are his brother, and if your own brother is zalim, then you must go there and stop him. This is called helping him. If you let him go on what he is doing, this is not helping him, this is being his enemy.
Yes.
This is being his enemy. And this is the reason why we see so many things can be rectified if we know what Allah is saying to us and what Allah is asking us to do. And inshallah, I will end my speech here and tomorrow we'll go on more, because I wanted to end this with the three things. There are many other things that I wanted to say, but we see inshallah, you know, we'll go on again, you know, some other time we will. I will have some more time to go into details regarding this. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. To give us the wisdom to understand his guidance. To hasten the reappearance of our Imam. To make us his helper when he comes. وآخر الدعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
اللهم صل على